contingencies, amendments, and addenda. Because each transaction is unique, a single contract form cannot easily contain all of the provisions that may be required in a transaction. A contract may need to be made subject to some future event. A common example is making a sale subject to the buyer being able to obtain suitable financing. Such a condition is known as a contingency. Some changes to a contract must be made early in the transaction and are often attached to the original offer. To lease or purchase, certain property conditions may warrant disclosures that are applied in some instances. Examples include the possible presence of toxic substances, endangered species, on-site sewage systems, and underground storage tanks that may contain petroleum or other products. Contingencies. A contingency is a provision in a contract that requires that a specific act or event happens for the contract to be binding on the party. A contingency must be specific regarding the required action, who must complete the action, and when it must be completed. Perhaps the most common contingency found in residential real estate contracts is the financing contingency. The term subject to is synonymous with contingent. A contract may be said to be subject to the buyer obtaining financing. Likewise, a contract with a financing contingency may be said to be contingent upon the buyer obtaining financing. Title contingencies. Buyers and lenders want to ensure that a seller has marketable title, because the seller's title problems will become future title problems for the new buyer. The contract should include a title contingency. As a rule, a title company or abstract company will perform a title examination. The buyer should examine any title report or title commitment issued by the title company prior to closing. Financing contingency. Often, a buyer who needs to obtain financing will want to make the contract contingent on financing approval by a lender. Buyers want some assurance that they will be able to terminate the contract and receive a refund of any earnest money deposit paid by them. As previously stated, residential transactions often employ financing contingencies. As such, a financing contingency is a special concern for both buyer and seller. When evaluating an offer from a buyer contingent on financing approval, the seller and seller's agent should ensure that the proposed financing terms are realistic. The buyer who attempts to make a transaction contingent upon the availability of a 30-year conventional mortgage loan with no down payment at a rate of 1% is attempting to do the impossible. If the seller accepts this type of contingency, the buyer has been given an out that he or she can use to terminate the contract and receive a refund of earnest money. On the other hand, if the contingency has loan terms that are higher than the current market, the buyer might be obligated under the contract to accept the unfavorable terms and close the transaction. Many contingencies are based upon one of the parties making a reasonable effort to perform. For example, a buyer may agree to make a reasonable effort to obtain approval for financing. Determining whether or not the buyer made a sufficiently reasonable effort is very difficult. In most cases, contingencies should have a specific date by which the event happens or the task is completed. Open-ended contingencies may give a party an easy means by which the contract can be terminated at any time prior to closing. For example, a contract with a proposed closing in 60 days, coupled with a 60-day financing contingency, effectively gives the buyer an easy method of terminating the contract at any time before closing by informing the seller that he is unable to obtain approval. Contingencies need to be specific and measurable. A contract that is contingent upon the buyer and seller negotiating seller financing satisfactory to both parties is vague and illusory. Any language that makes the contract subject to the parties agreeing to negotiate a point in the future will most likely render the contract unenforceable. Failure of a contingent event to occur does not invalidate a contract. Consider a contract with a financing contingency. If the buyer fails to obtain approval, he or she has the right to terminate the contract according to its terms. However, a party can always waive a contingency. The buyer who has the means to close without financing can simply proceed with the transaction and close. Sale of other property contingency. While the financing contingency is common in residential real estate, it is by no means the only one. Another contingency is the sale of other property contingency. In this case, the seller and buyer agree that the purchase of the property is contingent on the sale and closing of the buyer's existing property buyers, like this contingency, because it protects them from possibly owning two homes at once. It also helps to ensure that the buyers have funds available to close. Sellers are wary of accepting a sale of other property contingency because of the obvious risk of taking the house off the market for a buyer who is not ready to close. This type of contingency is most acceptable to a seller when it includes an escape clause. An escape clause provides that, if the seller receives another acceptable offer, the first buyer has a short period in which to waive the contingency and proceed with the transaction. Typical timeframes in an escape clause are 24, 48, or 72 hours. One area of concern when a property is contingent on the sale of the buyer's existing property is if the buyer owns a property that is not easily marketed because of location, asking price, or condition. If the buyer attempts to market the property at a price that is above market value, the property is not likely to sell, and the buyer will be unable to close. Appraisal contingency. Appraisal contingencies are related to financing contingencies because lenders use appraisals to determine the amount of money they will lend on a property. This maximum loan amount is a percentage of the lesser of the sale price or appraised value. For example, a buyer is purchasing a home for $200,000. If the lender is willing to give the buyer an 80% loan, the buyer must have a 20% down payment, which amounts to $40,000. The property must appraise for at least $200,000 for the buyer to limit the down payment to $40,000. Appraisal concerns are not limited to finance transactions. A buyer paying cash for a property may want to insert an appraisal contingency in the contract, allowing for the termination of the contract and a refund of the earnest money if the property fails to appraise for the sales price. Inspection contingency. In some states, not Texas, it is common for a contract to be subject to satisfactory inspections. Having an inspection contingency is a good idea if any of the following are discovered on the property. Radon. Radon is a colorless, odorless gas that is a concern to some buyers. It is a special concern in the basement areas of certain homes. If a buyer is concerned about the presence of radon, he or she might make a contract subject to satisfactory radon testing. Lead-based paint. Under federal law, all sellers of homes built prior to 1978 must provide the buyer with a disclosure of their knowledge of possible lead-based paint hazards. Families, particularly those with young children, have a special concern regarding lead-based paint because of the effect of lead on the immune systems of young children. Lead-based paint testing is recommended if this is a concern. In older homes, lead may have leached into the soil in the crawl space under a home or around the foundation as a result of paint peeling and accumulating in the soil. Environmental hazards. Such hazards include the possibility of other toxic substances, the presence of endangered species, and the possibility of wetlands on the property. The buyer may wish to have testing or research done in these areas and make the contract contingent on the property being free of these issues. Other inspection issues. The home inspector is a generalist who will examine most or all of the major systems in the home and will cite shortcomings as deficiencies. The buyer may wish to accept the property with its defects or may want to negotiate with a seller by asking the seller to have repairs performed before closing. The home inspector might cite deficiencies that will require additional inspections. For example, a home inspector might notice a certain amount of settling within the home. The inspector would then suggest that the buyer obtain an inspection from a foundation specialist. Additionally, home inspectors are generally not licensed pest inspectors. The buyer may wish to have a termite inspection done by a licensed professional. Additional specialized inspections may be performed on HVAC systems, electrical systems, swimming pools, and septic systems. Many homes are in subdivisions that have a property owners association. Condominium projects have owner associations with monthly fees that may be substantial. Owner associations may have bylaws that allow their fees to escalate. Additionally, owners associations may be heavily in debt or may be involved in litigation. All of these issues are a concern to the buyer. Many contracts are made subject to the buyer receiving association documents that disclose the financial condition of the association and the status of any litigation. Many rural homes receive their water from on-site wells. Some buyers may be concerned that an on-site well might be too shallow to supply the home's needs. Additionally, the well water might be undesirable because of its heavy mineral content. In areas near landfills or other toxic waste sources, toxic substances may have leached into the water table, contaminating the well from a site some distance away. Water testing is, therefore, recommended. Many old septic systems are inadequate by design and may have fully or partially failed. Over time, septic tanks can deteriorate and cave in. Drain fields can become dysfunctional due to improper use, overloading, shifting soils, and the infiltration of roots. Testing and inspections are recommended. Amendments. As a transaction progresses, amendments to the original contract may be needed. Common amendments include changes to the closing date, changes to the sales price, down payment, and/or the amount financed, repairs that the seller agrees to perform, and the removal or waiver of contingencies. The closing date specified in a contract is usually an on or before date. The agent should complete an amendment if the closing needs to be extended. A closing date extension is often required when the property needs repairs or when the lender requires additional time for closing. Changes to the sales price, down payment, or amount financed may be agreed to by the parties for any reason. The most common reason for this type of amendment is an appraisal that came in below the sales price. This is particularly important when the buyer is making a minimal down payment and needs a maximum loan-to-value ratio. The buyer will typically have inspections done during the contract period and may negotiate repairs with the seller. Suppose the seller agrees to do repairs or agrees to a financial adjustment for needed repairs. In that case, the contract will require an amendment. The parties may waive contingencies at any time. Examples include the waiver of sale of other property contingencies, option periods, and any other condition that a party wishes to waive. Addenda. An addendum to a contract is an attachment that adds or further describes the rights and duties of the parties. Many of the contingencies discussed earlier are added to the contract as an addendum. A contract may be subject to the buyer obtaining acceptable financing. A financing addendum may be added that specifies the type of loan the buyer is obtaining, the term, rate of interest, origination fees, and other costs. Other addenda forms may give the buyer the authority to conduct additional inspections, including environmental, hazardous wastes, or endangered species research. Unsatisfactory results from the testing or research may be grounds for termination of the contract. Common addenda forms would include topics such as financing addendum, lead-based paint, seller financing, flood hazard, mineral reservations, and property owners association information. Sometimes a provision in an addendum form contradicts a provision in the main body of the contract. In such a case, the provision in the addendum prevails. For example, some contract forms provide that the seller will provide the buyer with a general warranty deed at closing. An attached addendum may provide that the seller will provide the buyer with a special warranty deed at closing. In such a case, the seller will provide the special warranty deed because that is what is called for in the addendum. Additional considerations. When considering terms to be added to a contract, consider the following. Is the fulfillment of the contingency achievable? Does the contingency, addendum, or amendment conflict with other terms of the contract? A contract that gives the buyer 30 days to obtain financing makes little sense if the closing date is 20 days from the effective date of the contract. Can performance be measured? Provisions in a contract must not be vague. They must be clear enough for all parties to know that each is complying with the terms of the contract. Measurable terms include specific dollar amounts or dates by which the parties must perform. Terms that may be too vague would consist of statements that repairs must be acceptable to the buyer, or agreements between buyer and seller to negotiate at some point in the future. For example, a buyer and seller entered into a contract contingent upon the buyer obtaining a conventional loan. A provision was added to the contract stating that if the buyer was unable to obtain the conventional loan, the parties would agree to negotiate seller financing acceptable to both. This agreement to negotiate in the future is sufficiently vague and most likely unenforceable. Review elements and practice. The seller financing addendum. Paragraph A, credit documentation. The buyer will provide the documentation necessary for the seller's approval of the buyer's creditworthiness. Paragraph B. Buyer's credit approval. If the documentation is not delivered to the seller, then the seller has the right to terminate the contract, provided he or she gives the buyer the required notice. Credit approval is at the sole discretion of the seller. Paragraph C. Promissory note. The interest rate is negotiable and can be paid in three possible repayment plans. Paragraph C1. A single payment with interest payable at maturity, monthly or quarterly. This option would be suitable for a buyer anticipating the receipt of a bonus or other payout in the future. Paragraph C2. Installments either include interest or have interest added to them. The most common are monthly installments, including interest payments, will begin a number of days from the date of the note, 30 days the most common. Payments will continue for a number of months to amortize the loan fully, or may continue for a lesser number of months if the parties agree to a balloon payment. For example, a loan could be amortized over 20 years, with the balance being due in 60 months. Paragraph C3. Payments will be made in a combination of interest-only payments followed by payment of principal and interest. Paragraph D. Deed of trust. Paragraph D1. Property transfers. If D1A is selected, the property may be sold to a future buyer who assumes the loan without the consent of the seller. If D1B is selected, any assumption of the loan must be approved by the seller. D1B is essentially a due-on-sale clause and is the preferred choice of most sellers. Paragraph D2. Casualty insurance. The seller may require the buyer to insure the property until he or she has paid off the note. Casualty insurance will protect the seller from major losses to the property. The seller may require the buyer to name him or her as a mortgagee loss payee. As a loss payee, the insurance company will issue a check to the seller for damages. Paragraph D3. Tax and insurance escrow. Escrow is either required or not. If escrow is not required, the buyer must furnish the seller each year with evidence of taxes being paid and must provide the seller with evidence of paid-up casualty insurance, naming the seller as a mortgage e-loss payee. Paragraph D4. Prior liens. Default on a superior lien will constitute a default under the deed of trust securing the note. For example, the deed of trust is in the second position behind a first mortgage on the property. The seller could foreclose on this deed of trust if the first mortgage becomes delinquent, even if the note in this transaction is up to date. Amendment to contract. The amendment can be used for many purposes. If signed by both parties, it becomes a change to the existing contract and must be submitted to the title company. Paragraph 1. Buyer and seller agree to amend paragraph 3 of the contract. A change might be made to reduce paragraph 3C to match an appraisal that values the property at less than the original sales price. The cash portion, or down payment, and financing will be altered accordingly. Paragraph 2. The seller has agreed, at the seller's expense, to complete the listed repairs and treatments. This change is often made as a result of the buyer's inspection of the property. Paragraph 3. If this box is checked, the closing date of sale is changed. Paragraph 4. This change indicates that the seller will pay some or all of the buyer's costs. In some cases, the seller is willing to contribute to the buyer's closing costs as a part of the negotiated deal. In other cases, the buyer may be obtaining a loan that stipulates that the buyer cannot pay certain costs. Paragraph 5. The lender requires repairs and treatments as itemized on an attached list paid by the seller, amount indicated on the blank line, and if requested, an amount indicated on the blank line to be paid by the buyer. The lender required repairs generally come from the appraisal report if the appraiser cites deficiencies that affect the value of the property or that are a danger to the health and safety of an occupant. Paragraph 6. The seller has agreed to extend the original option period specified in paragraph 5b. For such an extension to be valid, an additional option fee must be paid. Please note that according to the 2020 contracts, the option fee is automatically credited to the sales price at closing. Paragraph 7. The buyer waives the unrestricted right to terminate the contract. Paragraph 8. The seller is granting the buyer additional time to obtain approval pursuant to the third-party financing addendum. Paragraph 9. State law prohibits real estate brokers and sales agents from practicing law. The parties should consult an attorney before signing the amendment. Trek Pro MUL Gate D, Forms and Leases. The contracts license holders prepare for their parties have significant legal consequences. In the past, agents prepared contracts using forms that were not standardized. Because these forms did not deal with many of the issues found in a typical transaction, agents added provisions to contracts that were complex and often problematic. Two major issues arise when agents add provisions to contracts that go beyond factual business details. 1. The license holder is engaging in the unauthorized practice of law, and 2. The license holder is not qualified to craft such provisions, the result being that there is often considerable dispute over their meaning. These disputes often result in litigation. In response to this problem, the Texas Real Estate Commission, TREC, established the Broker-Lawyer Committee to write residential contract forms that, with few exceptions, are mandatory for license holders. These forms are known as promulgated forms. The term promulgated means to make known by open declaration, publish. If the license holder uses TREC promulgated forms correctly, the unlawful practice of law issue is more easily avoided. License holders may also use a form prepared and approved by a licensed Texas attorney for the particular transaction involved. A. Form prepared by the property owner or prepared by an attorney and required by the property owner is also authorized. Failure of a license holder to use these forms, a form written by an attorney, or required by the parties, can result in revocation or suspension of a license. TREC will take action against a license holder on proof that the license holder drew a deed, note, deed of trust, will, or other written instrument that transferred or affected the title to or an interest in land. Likewise, a license holder could have his or her license suspended or revoked if he or she is found to have advised or counseled a person as to the validity or legal sufficiency of an instrument or the validity of title to real estate. TREC does not have any promulgated contract forms for the sale of cooperatives or mobile homes and has no forms for any commercial transactions. TREC has only two promulgated lease forms. 1. Buyer's temporary residential lease. This temporary lease is for use when the buyer occupies the property for no more than 90 days prior to closing. And 2. Seller's temporary residential lease. This temporary lease is for use when the seller occupies the property for no more than 90 days after closing. When leasing residential properties, license holders who are realtors generally use forms available from the Texas realtors. Those who are not realtors must use forms from other sources. Some residential leases contain a right of first refusal. giving the tenant the right to purchase the leased property by matching or bettering an offer before the property will be sold to someone else. Another possibility is a lease with an option to purchase. Commonly known as a lease purchase agreement, it gives the tenant occupancy in the present time and the right to purchase at a future date. In an option to purchase, the price is set when the lease agreement is negotiated, which is advantageous to the tenant buyer. TREC does not have promulgated forms for a right of first refusal or leases with an option to purchase. TREC specifically prohibits license holders in Texas from writing any lease with an option to purchase or a right of first refusal. If a license holder has a client interested in this type of transaction, the assistance of an attorney is required. Contracts may be valid, void, voidable, or unenforceable. A valid contract is one that meets all of the requirements of law. A void contract is invalid from the beginning and has no effect on the parties. A contract to perform an illegal act is a void contract. A voidable contract is one that cannot be enforced against one or more of the parties. Most contracts entered into with minors are voidable at the option of the minor. An unenforceable contract cannot be enforced due to some flaw in the contract, passage of time, or other issues that make enforcement impossible. Of course, in the real estate business, we prefer to negotiate valid, enforceable contracts,